Welcome to Saturday Frights, the podcast. I am your co-host, the Projectionist. And now, for your host, Vic Sage.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Saturday Frights podcast. We have a special episode for you listeners this week because, thanks to this portable recording device that the techs at the Retros Vault whipped up for us, we are going to be having a live podcast feed straight from the Haunted Drive-In. You excited about this, Projectionist?
Oh, certainly, Victor.
We also have one other special surprise, right?
Yes. Oh, you see, dear listeners, we're also going to be showing 1968's Night of the Living Dead after our broadcast is complete.
That's right, friends. The Projectionist and I will discuss George Romero's Night of the Living Dead with a live camera feed after the show. We'll provide a link in the show notes, of course. We've been on the road now for, 12 hours. I hope we're close because I'm afraid I've totally run out of beef jerky. And on a road trip, that is not a good thing for the driver.
Nor has smelling that deplorable food been a good thing for your passenger, Sage. How did you convince the Retro-S to let you borrow the Tucker 48?
You mean besides the fact he wanted us to arrive in style? Safe driving record, my friend. Hey, will there be a big turnout from the kids for tonight's screening?
Oh, no, most certainly not. This is for the dear listeners, and our pleasure only. My security. Precautions will make sure of that.
For the record, listeners, it's been a fun little drive, if a long one. Some wonderful music, and of course, the Projectionist's charming conversation. Why, I don't believe I wasn't creeped out by something he said more than every 5 minutes.
What was that?
Like I was saying, we had wonderful music to listen to while we've made our way to Haddonfield, and my co-host almost paid for gas once.
It's not my fault the attendant didn't accept my currency, Victor.
You tried to pay with a gold bar, Projectionist. I mean, who carries gold bars with them?
I don't put much faith in your paper money. Never have.
Hey, look up there. Is that a sign for the Starlight Star?
Yes. That means we are near the Haunted Drive-In.
That was some interesting graffiti spray painted on that sign back there, Projectionist.
I was checking this recording device. What graffiti?
Oh, I don't know what it was. Just looked like a cross between some squiggly lines and Nordic runes to me. Projectionist, you okay?
Yes. I think you should put your pedal to the metal so we will get to the drive-in before we lose the sun, Victor. Hard to give you and the listeners a tour in the dark, eh?
You sure everything's all right? You seem agitated.
I'm fine. Being cooped up with you all day is getting on my nerves.
Okay, calm down.
Slow down, Victor. There, see that turn up ahead? That grown-up path marks the entrance.
Holy cow! Maybe we should have brought a jeep or something to get through that. Those weeds have to be 6 feet tall at least. How do the kids in Haddonfield even find this place?
The Haunted Drive-In calls to those that will appreciate its beauty, Victor.
Listeners, I wish you could see this. We are driving through, and I swear it's almost like the weeds are parting to let us pass.
Such an active imagination you have, Sage.
It's not my imagination. Look behind us, Projectionist. The weeds aren't even stamped down from where we've driven over them.
You've been driving far too long, my friend. I fear you're starting to see things. Thankfully, we have arrived.
Oh, my word.
Welcome to the Haunted Drive-In, Victor Sage.
Oh, listeners, I can't wait until you see the live feed. It's beautiful. I don't know any other way to describe it.
I do, dear listeners. Here they'd be, here we'd be. Yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Enjoy the show. And in they'd come, entering a palace like in a dream, like in heaven. Maybe you had worries and problems out there, but once you came through those doors, they didn't matter anymore. And you know why? Chaplain, that's why. And Keaton and Lloyd, Garbo, Gable and Lombard, and Jimmy Stewart and Jimmy Cagney, Fred and Ginger, they were gods, and they lived up there. That was Olympus. Would you remember if I told you how lucky we felt just to be here, to have the privilege of watching them? I mean this television thing. Why would you want to stay at home and watch a little box? Because it's convenient? Because you don't have to get dressed up? Because you could just sit there? I mean, how can you call that entertainment? Alone in your living room? Where's the other people? Where's the audience? Where's the magic? I'll tell you, in a place like this, the magic is all around you. The trick is to see it.
Did you just quote from The Majestic?
What of it? It's not like all modern cinema isn't worthy of my viewing.
Listeners, I'm not sure if, like myself, you thought the Haunted Drive-In would be in ruins. I mean, you told us it was burned down, Projectionist, but this place is pristine. I would almost swear that we traveled back to 1950 or something. Look at all the lights on that sign. The neon on the concession stand.
It was burned down, Sage. This driving is special. Victor, stop the car.
What's wrong?
They're missing. Where are the morphine?
What are you talking about? Where's the what? What the heck is going on with the radio?
Ask me how I knew my true love was true. I must reply something here inside cannot be denied.
That was weird.
You go ahead and pull the car up around the other side of the concession stand.
Let me get the recorder here. I just can't get over how beautiful the drive-in is. I do apologize, but I really did just assume you were hiding out in some burnt wreckage.
And how would I show films in such a working environment, Victor?
Yeah, of course. Sorry. Man, why aren't we recording the Saturday Frights podcast out here all the time?
Besides the 12-hour drive, you mean? Dear listeners, this drive-in was founded against some of the people of Haddonfield's wishes on August 26, 1943, by Bill Darnell, a rather squat man, his size matching his temper. Many employees learned to walk softly when his dander was up.
Yeah? Did that include you?
Oh, things changed when I came here in 1946, Sage.
1946? If I remember correctly, you were working at the Egyptian Theater at that time, right?
Grauman's Egyptian Theater. I was briefly working in Chicago before I was hired to come here and take over as head projectionist.
So tell us, how did you get hired?
Bill Darnell hired me, of course. like most of us that are lured by the siren song of working in show business. We cannot resist watching films on our time off, or in Bill's case, while on vacation. I was the head projectionist at the Avalon, which had been opened on August 29, 1927. A beautiful theater with a Persian-inspired interior designed by none other than John Eberson. It had live performances up until 1930, when it became solely a cinema theater. I believe it is no longer in operation, I am sad to say. But back in 1946, I had the privilege of being its head projectionist. Bill and his wife, Rhiannon, caught a showing of The Lost Weekend with Ray Milland, a role which earned the actor the Oscar. Bill was impressed by the clarity of the film presentation, and after a brief discussion with me in the booth, we struck a deal. And I ended my tenure with the Avalon and was Haddonfield bound.
Projectionist? Did you look at it as a kind of a step down? I mean, going from a movie theater, a palace as you called it, to a drive-in.
Do you ever truly stop and listen to the nonsense you say sometimes, Victor? A projectionist goes where they are needed. Almost as if they sense when their work is complete and it's time to move on. I'm speaking of the true projectionists, of course.
Hey, is that a jab at my time as projectionist at the Razorback Theater?
No. At least it wasn't intended as such.
Uh-huh. You mentioned that some of the people of Haddonfield objected to the drive-in being here.
Quite. This part of Haddonfield has always had a rather disturbing history.
How so?
Oh, I know of one such incident that occurred back on March 6, 1836. This land we are standing upon, Victor, was the site of a frontier fort. An honest-to-goodness first stab at attempting to secure a foothold in the wilderness.
What happened?
Depends on who you ask. The fort was burned to the ground a year later. Some say it was because of a sickness, a plague that spread with the coming of winter. If you asked the Ho-Chunk tribe, they claimed that it was an evil that came down from the hills. They whispered it was the work of Wendigos. Whatever the reason for the fort being razed to the ground, it is the known fact that all 169 soldiers stationed to this outpost died.
Wow. Yeah, I guess I can see the reason people would object to having the Starlight Starbright Family Fun Drive-In erected here. Sorry, I meant the haunted drive-in.
Only local history buffs might have objected to that sage. It was in 1910 that a truly black mark was recorded when a religious zealot named Reverend Oliver Beck brought his flock to this area and settled a thriving community known as Sanctus Paradisa. Then, in 1915, Reverend Oliver Beck up and decided the people of Sanctus Paradisa had become corrupted by an outside influence, and in one single night, murdered the 65 men, women, and children that had come to call the community home.
What? I'm almost hesitant to ask, but what happened to Beck?
He took his own life after the fact, hung himself from the steeple of his church, which would have been just over there. Some family members of those that were murdered discovered the gruesome scene a couple of weeks later. The town of Sanctus Paradisa was going to be left for the wilderness to reclaim, but others wanted to turn it into a vast graveyard for those unfortunates that had been slain.
That is so horrible. I'm beginning to wonder if Steven Spielberg didn't get the idea for Poltergeist after hearing about this. How could Bill Darnell have been able to build a drive-in atop a graveyard?
Hogwash. I said they wanted to turn it into a graveyard, Victor. But you need to have something to put into the graves for that to happen, eh?
What do you mean?
The bodies. All of them disappeared a few nights after. All but Reverend Oliver Beck, that is. Ironically enough, after that shocking revelation, the town of Sanctus Paradisa was put to the torch and burned to the ground. The panicky people even salted the earth.
This is just all too creepy, Projectionist. I mean, looking around here as the sun is about to sink behind those hills. It's so relaxing, peaceful. I can't believe such horrible things happened here.
Good and bad go hand in hand, Victor. That is why the teenagers of Haddonfield are attracted to the haunted drive-in. I told you earlier, this place calls out to those that can see its true beauty.
Now, I'm not trying to get you angry, but you rebuilt the drive-in after, you know, the townspeople and stuff did what they did.
I had my part in its reconstruction, certainly. It's a sad fact that there is a breed of people who will seek to harm the unique things of the world.
What's going on? That music is coming from all the speakers in the drive-in, Projectionist.
Relax. I'm sure it's simply a short in the sound system.
Hey, I thought you said that we were going to be the only people here. Where are these guys from? A classic car show? Look, that's a Model T.
Victor, I suggest you run to the concession stand.
This is a joke, right? I mean, we're going to show Night of the Living Dead, so those people are dressed up as zombies, right? And their makeup is so realistic, it's frightening.
Why did you...
Sage, my friend, if you value your life, please do as I say, now!
But what about you? Let's get in the car and get out of here!
No! I have to stay and protect the driving. I don't want to think what they would do to her.
Peace.
Going on? That thing out there is your old boss?
Not exactly. A dark thing is wearing his skin is all.
I think ever since I started working at the Retroist Vault, I've entered the Twilight Zone or something. Gremlins. The Krampus.
Don't forget about helping IC Robots with the Space Pirates.
Yeah, there's that too. Now, there are zombies trying to break in here to kill us.
They'll kill me? You? Let's not talk about that, eh?
What did Bill mean? I mean, that thing, when it said that an old friend was coming.
I'm not positive, Victor, but I believe that this is just the start of something quite foul. When I noticed the morphos were missing, and what you said about the billboard graffiti, it all adds up to, by the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes. Can you pass me some milk, Dud Sage?
What are we going to do?
Why wait here until the morning, of course. I can start up Night of the Living Dead if you would like. Although I'm afraid we won't be able to do the live feed now.
What will happen in the morning?
Those abominations out there will surely have left by then. Oh, the first rays of the sun shall cleanse them from this place. You don't look so good, Sage. Why not lay down?
Don't think I can handle this. Not this.
It's okay. You're going into shock. Let me tell you about my first night here at the Haunted Drive-In. What I caught Bill Darnell doing in his office. I just changed the second wheel of Duel in the Sun. I thought I had heard. Morning, Victor. You look well rested.
What happened?
I guess you aren't cut out for long drives, Sage. You've complained of being too tired for the live feed and came in here to sleep. Our fans will be sorely disappointed.
Oh, no. Why didn't you wake me?
Hey, I tried, but it was as if you were dead to the world. I went ahead and played Night of the Living Dead to keep me entertained while you slumbered.
Wow, that's probably why I had such a horrible nightmare. I dreamed we showed up here and were attacked by people you had murdered.
What?
I meant to say that people that went missing in Haddonfield showed up and were trying to kill us. I guess my subconscious was picking up on the film.
Yes, that makes sense. We better be heading back to the Retroist Vault.
Oh, 12 more hours on the road.
Don't I drive us back? You take the time to rest up.
Thanks, Projectionist. I feel really bad about messing up the live feed and wasting your time.
Nonsense. It was good to get back to the haunted drive-in. And as for our dear listeners, surely they're used to disappointment with the way you handled the show.
I feel bad about not being able to enjoy the haunted drive-in either.
Don't worry about that, Sage. I'm sure we'll be back sooner than later. On business.
What do you mean?
Why, you're part of her story now, too. Isn't that right?
Baby, I'm yours.
On behalf of the projectionist and myself, we thank you for listening to the Saturday Frights podcast. If you did enjoy the show, we hope you will hop on over to the Retroist every Saturday, where we present everything from classic horror TV shows to the best in frightening shorts. The music you hear at the beginning of the show was provided by Peachy. If you'd like to contact him, you may do so at peachy@retroist.com. That is P-E-A-C-H-Y. @retroist.com. Our new ending theme is entitled Twisted Toys and was composed by the talented Tony Longworth. You can listen to even more of his music on SoundCloud and on his official site, which you can reach at www.tonylongworth.com. Of course, I have to give thanks for the invaluable feedback to my co-host, The Projectionist. Where can your fans find you if they wish to contact you?
Why, deep in your dreams. Just find the smiling cat with the human hands and whisper your questions. But I'm sometimes on the Facebooks. Projectionist, Haunted Drive-In.
If you're a new listener to our show, we do have a Saturday Frights Facebook page as well. And we would greatly appreciate it if you could stop by and give us a like, or even let others know about it. It's another spot where we can share our love of retro horror with you and not have to wait until Saturday to do so. Our podcast is available on iTunes and Stitcher, and we would certainly appreciate it if you could click subscribe. Maybe even leave us a nice review if you're pleased with our work. I can be found nearly every day on The Retroist. If you have any suggestions for future shows or even feedback, you can contact me at vicsage@retroist.com. We owe a great debt of gratitude to the Retroist himself. We're not only allowing us to record here in the Retroist Vault, but hosting the podcast as well. When you have retro needs, and we all do, just head over to www.retroist.com. Until next time, the vault is sealed.
This has been a Retroist production. Goodbye.